throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Garrison Financial Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal, glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk a little Thunder we didn't get to yesterday. Thunder Heat tonight, 20 games left in the season. I want you to give me your conference finals.
Whoa.
Finals, MVP, and Rookie of the Year. Also,
we got 20 more games.
Yeah, but we're three quarters of the way through the season, kind of where you're feeling now. We've done that. It's
major injuries
quarter.
could change all this.
Maybe
we've already seen a couple.
You don't have to pick it for real, just how you're feeling right now.
Okay.
You don't, I mean, what are you going to do? Change your finals pick when the conference finals start if somebody gets hurt?
Change these when we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, these aren't official predictions. It's just kind of like, hey, what do you think about
this?
Come
on, teacher, I hate pop quizzes.
What is going on?
What'd you do?
Okay, so if I put my mouse at the top on the toolbar, you know, I can see the things I have open.
Uh-huh.
If I move it, whatever I have is just like, boom, giant.
Hold on, I got to look at this.
Did I hit something? I have hit. Okay, so watch. See, like, this looks kind of weird. Uh-oh.
Talks among yourselves.
No.
It's one of the... You tapped one of these.
I tapped one of the... Oh.
Was that it?
You got it. You've got it.
Did we do it?
Okay. Whew. It was kind of odd. I wasn't sure what was happening. Anyhow.
Right. You hit, I think, like F1.
I must have hit F1 when I was getting a drink of this delicious Dr. Pepper.
From Wick Donald's. What's going on there?
Shh. My wife might be listening. I probably wasn't supposed to stop there for breakfast.
You said Dr. Pepper. You're already in the hole.
What's your dream scenario? Like we talked about, obviously, the Lakers. That's been a big topic of a conversation across these airwaves this week since that loss on Monday, losing the season series, seemed like a bad matchup. So what would be your kind of perfect scenario for the standings to work out and who the Thunder would kind of have to go through to possibly get to the NBA Finals? High school hoops coming up today. Merritt and Riverside, Class 2A girls semifinals. 1:30 is the scheduled tip time at the Big House, Cool 94, Paragon TV for the audio, 1 o'clock for the pregame. The Oilerettes and the Lady Braves, I believe, is their mascot, the Riverside Lady Braves.
That's right.
Riverside has been impressive, there's no doubt about it, throughout the really the playoff run and even the latter stages of the regular season. In your mind, is the winner the favorite to win the state title?
Good one.
Can Douglas give Bethany a game this morning? I wanted to get this question out there before it really got going. They just tipped at 9 o'clock in 4A girls. Can Douglas give Bethany a game today? Also, Weatherford.
You know, I need to answer that question first before it gets out of
here. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you think they can. Anyhow, then Weatherford dominated yesterday over Stillwell. They faced Tulsa McLean today. What a bummer. In my mind, that was, because I'd have loved to have seen Weatherford Anadarko, and if Coach Shumpert would have employed the stalling tactics that he did a year ago that got the whole nation in an uproar over a 4-2 game. But instead, it's Randy Rutherford and Tulsa McLean. Oh, they look pretty good watching them. How hard is it going to be for the Weatherford Eagles not to look past this today, knowing what could be tomorrow with Douglas possibly waiting in a rematch of that 4A state championship game? And then also right off the top, I had this question asked to me last night, and I thought it was a fascinating question to ponder. And the question was, what is your favorite day on the sports calendar? And so I'm going to increase that to your top three. What are your top three favorite days on the sports calendar. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk and Paragon TV. All right there. Everything we do is right there at your fingertips through the app. And, of course, the podcast. We podcast the show every day. Well, every day that Jared's here that I don't forget to record. When I'm here by myself.
A little programming note. It might be a little delayed today because I got to hit the road as soon as
absolutely.
We're done. So. Yeah. But I am recording it, so it will eventually.
Better than just in thin air like
nothing.
Like Wednesday's show. And it was brilliant Wednesday.
Was it?
I thought so. And nobody could tell me nobody could tell me any different. the podcast is everywhere where podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. How you doing?
You're all canoed up. What's going on here?
I got thunder.
You got
thunder.
Looks like Canute t-shirt. It's yellow anyway. Shirt. Oh, it is?
It's one of those gold ones.
Oh, okay.
And just matches. Happens to be yellow.
Okay. Didn't know if you realized that it was Merritt playing and not Canute.
It's Merritt. I don't have Merritt gear. Sorry. Hey, speaking of which, Merritt, you might want to show up because Riverside brings like their entire school.
Did you see? Okay. Oh. We got
and
in trouble.
Loud, and they're very loud.
We got in trouble for this at Hinton.
Oh, we did?
Yes, me and Daniel. But did you notice what it said on their t-shirts?
No.
They have a name for their student section.
Oh. God. I noticed they're all wearing the same shirts and everything. I mean, they're very, very
organized. Oh, no, they brought them all to Hinton.
They bring them all? Yeah,
yes.
They brought them all.
It was awesome.
At one point, it was they made an announcement, said the 15 Riverside students who are not on the activity bus need to board the bus now. I mean, they were short 15 students, but I think they bring the entire school. They use every bus. Yeah, they do have a yell leader.
Yes, they do.
And it kind of reminded me of Texas A&M. I wonder if they have yell practice at midnight.
We got a little. We got accused of being racist. It's like,
what?
The name of that.
Name of the group?
The name of the group could be misconstrued that way.
Well, maybe we shouldn't even try to say it, but.
And we pointed out as the broadcast was beginning that how cool it was. Because, I mean, all of a sudden, you're right.
Yeah.
It's like the whole school shows up.
And they're loud.
And they are loud, and they do it.
From the very beginning.
They do a great job. No, it's awesome.
I mean, they won by 39 the other day, and even at the very end, they're still yelling. And I noticed that. If one kid was not yelling, that yell leader would yell at them. They would go, hey, wake up. Get up. You need to yell louder.
Yeah, you're not just here to sit around and do nothing.
Yeah.
You're here to support and help out the team. God, I wish I could remember. I don't want to start making guesses because then we probably would get in trouble.
Yeah.
But
point is.
Make a note of that if you can see.
I will.
They have t-shirts. They're black t-shirts. They're like black and red, like the team. Oh, it's awesome.
Trying to recall.
It's absolutely awesome.
Because they were on. It looks like they will be on our side that we sit.
Yeah. Okay.
And Merritt will be on the opposite side of Radio Row. So I will see the shirts. I'll snap a picture and send it to you.
Good.
Pretty cool. But it's impressive what they do, and their team's impressive too. So get ready, Merritt fans. You're gonna have some fan competition. You better get ready to get loud.
It'll be loud up in there.
Sure it will. It's state. Sure
it'll be
will.
Loud up in there. All right. So, I was asked this question last night. Good conversation about it. So, my question to everybody listening and you too, Jared, is this. What are your favorite 3 days? Individual days.
In sports.
On the sporting calendar.
Okay, I've got two. I'm debating the third.
Okay.
Labor Day Saturday.
Yeah, I've got that one myself.
Is one of mine because of it's typically the college football opener weekend. And then there's even a rodeo here in town that night. But there's just a lot happening on that Labor Day Saturday. So that one for me. Another one is the first day of March Madness because there's so much going on, drama. I mean, you're almost guaranteed an upset, at least in some form or fashion, seating-wise. And just it's a nice distraction from work on that day. It is the first day of March Madness. Those are the two I can firmly say, yeah, those are my favorite. I'm trying to think of a third. I think it is July 4th because it's just all American. I get to sit down, watch a hot dog eating contest, sport or not. I don't know. It's on ESPN. And then there's a lot of baseball on. So I think those three right there. I debated Christmas Day with all day basketball, NBA, but I like baseball a little better. And I like that holiday a little better than Christmas. So, because of the food, right? I mean, notice the 2 days I mentioned are great eating days, too. So, those would
grilling,
be my...
great grilling days, oh,
yeah.
Specifically.
Oh, yeah. So, those would be my three. How about you?
My number one, by leaps and bounds, is Masters Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And it's not even close. It's my favorite day on the sporting calendar. Number two, I had the Labor Day kickoff for college football. And number three, I had Thursday. I put Thursday, Friday, just because... they almost meld into one because it's the first round. I'm not going to call it the second round. Sorry, NCAA.
No, yeah.
I'm calling it the first round of the tournament. It's always awesome. You know, historically, it's been very good. Some others that I thought of but didn't quite crack the list, and we've actually seen on the text line here similar thoughts. One was Kentucky Derby Day. I love the Kentucky Derby.
It's fun.
I think it's an awesome day.
You're asked the question to me is the day, not just one event. It's like the entire day that encompasses the entire day. So that's why I went with those, what I picked.
I had U.S. Open Sunday because it's always Father's Day. I like the stories that
it's
creates. And obviously that, you know, means a little bit more to me now as a dad and then without one. And then I put A and B state championship Saturday. But I think Jeremy's text to the text line, I think Friday's better. I'm going to scooch it back to semifinal Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the eight games. And honestly, this year was no exception. You almost get better games a lot of years on Friday than you do on Saturday. So that one's awesome. And then personally for me, just with what I – can't do athletically anymore, but one thing I can, the first Friday in June for me, like personally, is the coolest day of my sporting calendar, because that's the first day of the annual oil and gas golf tournament here. It's my favorite tournament. I love it when I get to play in it, unlike our, you know what I'm saying, we're working ours. But it's just, I love that Friday. It's kind of the kickoff of golf season to me. You know what I mean? And it's always the same. It's always that first Friday, and it's always a blast. And so that's for me. But I thought that was an interesting question, and I think it's interesting that we haven't had anybody even sort of say Super Bowl Sunday. That is so far down my list. You know, it is so far down.
I'm surprised you didn't really because of the same reasons I put two out of my 3 days were holidays.
And food.
I'm surprised you didn't say Thanksgiving with NFL football all day and good eats.
I do love Thanksgiving. There is no doubt about that. That might be my favorite day of the year. It's my favorite holiday for sure.
Yeah, mine's the fourth.
And fourth is my second one. But Thanksgiving is just, yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I like that.
That was a fun question.
If you'd asked me like what a weekend, you know, I could see you saying Masters weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I go to the Labor Day weekend because we start high school football. I mentioned the college football, which continues in the Sunday and even in the Monday. And then the rodeo here in town. That's just a fun weekend for me.
Okay, so I knew that we would get NCAA basketball tournament starting. As answers. I knew we would.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because it's a Garrison Financial Friday, I also have these numbers teed up. How many dollars do you think are bet on March Madness.
Oh, my goodness.
This comes from 2023 numbers. The second ones are 22 numbers. I couldn't find the most recent.
Oh,
but as far as dollars bet in 2023.
Horrible with this.
On the NCAA tournament, how much you think it was?
Like in total on the betting apps and Vegas, everything. I'm horrible with these numbers. I feel like billions too much. It's in the billions?
Oh, yeah.
10 billion.
Not a bad guess. 68 million people bet $15.5 billion.
That's worldwide.
On March Madness in 2023. $15.5 billion by 68 million people. Next question. How much do you think, like I said, I couldn't find 2023 numbers. I found 2022 revenue numbers for the NCAA. How much do you think they take in annually? Or at least they did in 2022?
That
the NCAA as an entity, how much revenue do they generate?
Annually.
Well, in 2022.
In 2022, what did they bring in?
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to think a large lump sum of that came from the March Madness.
Well, that's going
to
be the next question.
Yeah, okay. Let's go around $500 million. Probably way more than that, isn't it?
Double it. $1.14 billion they take in annually, or at least in 2022. Yeah, what do you think percentage of that comes from the tournament?
70. 90. 90% from that tournament?
A billion.
That's crazy.
That they take in from the NCAA tournament. That's you always hear that is their cash cow, and truer words could not be spoken. You know, and I'm sure people are going, well, what about football? They don't get it. That money goes to that money doesn't flow through the NCAA. The NCAA, that's why for years it was the mythical national championship for footballs, because it's not really recognized by the NCAA. Right now, when you hear you weren't here. When I talked about the playoff. You know, they're already talking about expanding that to 14.
Yeah.
When the 12-teamer hadn't even started.
Yeah,
But who's making those decisions? It's the College Football Playoff Committee. It's the conferences or the conference leaders or what have you are the ones making those. It has nothing to do with the NCAA, as far as the revenue and the money generated, and so. Yeah, that tournament is the revenue source for the NCAA, which is pretty fascinating considering everything that does or doesn't fall underneath their umbrella. So we still get a little Garrison Financial Friday, a little finance, even without Scotty G in the chair.
Kind of eye-opening.
Yeah. No doubt about that. $15.5 billion bet. Whew. All right, when we come back, we'll hit the high school hoops coming up today. Tell you what happened yesterday in 4A. Merritt Oilerettes, chance to make it in the state finals. Skinny on Sports, right here on a Garrison Financial Friday.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sport.
We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out on a Garrison Financial Friday. Scotty G at Garrison Financial. He's a full financial planner. He shops the open market to bring you the best value on your life insurance and your investments. You can shoot him an email, scott@soonerwealth.com. 124 North Main is his physical address, downtown Elk City. 821-1219 is the phone number down there to his office. Scott@soonerwealth.com, Garrison Financial Friday. Normally a Garrison Financial Friday with Scott, but he has his other stuff tied up.
I think he doesn't like me.
Doing a little work.
He was here last week without me.
Yeah, he was. He stayed the whole hour. It was good times.
Oh, well, good for... Sounds fun. I'm kind of sorry I missed that. Dang, Scott.
We probably picked on you.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Once again, I forgot to record, yeah, so who will know?
Yeah, who knows?
Whoever knows. All right, high school hoops coming up today. Semifinal Friday. 2A boys and girls, 4A boys and girls will be at the big house with the 8 games. 3A is shipped out to UConn to decide who plays tomorrow in the 6-game championship Saturday. Obviously, the focus here and around Elk City is the Merritt Oilerettes making their way into the semifinals to take on the Riverside Lady Braves. That is the final game of the morning session. That's a 1:30 tip scheduled for Merritt and Riverside. I saw your face go crazy, and that's going to be the answer to a question here. I don't think you would have said yes, but it's the next question turned out to be yes. Anyhow, Merritt Riverside, I think this game is fascinating with the matchups. A lot of the people that went on Wednesday to the 10:30 Oilerette game got to see Riverside in person, and they were phenomenal, knocking down shots from the outside, 77 points. I think Merritt matches up just fine with Riverside. I think athletically they can hang with what Riverside wants to do, and I think this game comes down to Merritt taking care of the ball, making Riverside play in the half court, and then from there, can Riverside make shots over the Merritt defense?
Yeah.
You know, this is a game, if it gets into the, you know, high 50s, low 60s,
I think you want to keep it low.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, if it's, like, so let's say if the winner scores like 45 to 55 points or fewer, I really think you like the Oilerettes' chances because that means their defense affected this game tremendously. If that score gets a little higher than that, I would be a little concerned that Riverside's pressure led to easy buckets.
Yeah, you're going to want to keep it low. And I wonder, you know, we had that question about Okarchi boys when they had that incredible showing against Sentinel. We were wondering, do they have anything left in their tank in the championship game? And they did. So I'm going to go back to that a little bit. You know, Riverside was great in their opening round victory over Van Oss. Do they have anything left in their tank? Because, listen, no offense to Van Oss, Merritt is way better than Van Oss. So do they have anything left against Merritt, who's going to play better defense? They're going to be just as physical. Riverside's going to want to be physical, and Merritt is not going to back down to that. They're just as physical. And if they can come out and prevent those makes from outside for Riverside, run them off the line, do whatever it takes, make them work down low early and then have success on the other side, keep it low scoring, Merritt has a great chance. But that's the thing. You see really good teams. We saw it last weekend. I mentioned Okarchi. And I know I'm almost comparing apples and oranges with boys' teams and girls' teams, but still, it's the sport of basketball. But like Wilson Henrietta, when they just went on a roll, Riverside's capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. So you cannot let them get on a roll, or then you're in trouble.
Riverside, only their second state tournament appearance in school history. But they made it last year, and they got to this game a year ago, which I remember watching, you know, the last quarter and a half maybe of that after we went and had lunch against Caddo.
Yeah.
And Caddo was able to win that game by 4. 49-45 was the final score a year ago in the Class A semifinals. So obviously Riverside looking for their first state finals appearance, first state championship. Merritt's won twice all the way back, though, in 1980, their last title. And then in 78, the Oilerettes won as well, lost in the championship game in 1977. How crazy is this to Eric? Didn't have to go far. They could have played that one out here.
It's like when Canute and Cheyenne girls played, we both looked at each other like, could we not have met Weatherford or Clinton or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know that the experience, both teams have been in the state tournament in the last couple of years, Merritt in 2022, and then obviously Riverside last year. It's a fascinating matchup, and I think it does. It comes down to how much does each defense impose their will on the other side. Merritt's would be obviously slowing things down, in my opinion, is what they're, keeping it from being just a run-and-gun type game. Whereas Riverside's defense, I think, can turn to easy points because of the style that they want to play and getting up, forcing turnovers to get easy baskets on the other end. We'll see what happens. Do you think the winner is the favorite tomorrow?
I think that whoever wins is going to match up. If it's Dale, I think they can match up with Dale pretty good. I don't know if I'm ready to say that they're the favorite. Dale's pretty good. But they would be more battle-tested, I think. I mean, Dale's, listen, they're the one seed. They're
also the defending champs.
They're the defending champs. And today's matchup versus Hal looks like.
Which was the state finals last year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't close.
So,
Dale beat Hal 48-23 in the final year ago.
It'd be tough to say that the winner of this Merritt-Riverside game would be the favorite. But I'm not counting them out.
Oh, no.
I think, listen. We're over here talking about Dale boys and like, okay, it's Dale and everybody else. We're saying the same thing about Bethany. Maybe it's a 4-point game at halftime now, but Bethany girls. But this tournament, I think whoever gets Dale in the finals, I think we could have a really good finals.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Merritt and Dale, it may be first to 40 wins. It might be first to 35 wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dale's a favorite until they're not. I don't disagree with that.
No, that's what I said. It's hard for me to say that.
Especially when you think about, you look at what would be the familiarity. Dale's been to the state tournament 6th straight year. They didn't get to play in 2020, obviously with COVID, but they were there. They qualified for it. Played in the finals in 2019. Played in the finals last year. Close semifinal losses in 21 and 22 since Eric's been there. So, and he's a guy, coaching-wise, not only at Dale, he had Frontier in the state tournament. He won state championships at Alva. And so, he's not too much – not to the level of, say, Hamer or Kevin Llewellyn as far as the amount of titles. But he's also – listen, their family ain't booking trips. Either now, the second week of March, on the weekend, because they kind of know where they're going to be. They're booking hotel room. Well, they may just drive home from Shawnee area, but
yeah,
that will be a very, very interesting matchup if it is Merritt and Dale, because you want to talk about a rock fight. I think that'll be a defensive, absolute rock fight if those two play. And then if it's not, if it's Riverside and Dale, I think you're going to see kind of a similar matchup to what's going on today with Merritt.
Yeah.
With the styles and the contrast, although they might not mind getting up and down a little bit more to their liking. I asked at the top of the show, we really didn't answer, could Douglas give Bethany a game? The answer right now is yes. As you mentioned, 4-point lead for Bethany at halftime. Talk about a team that was criminally undervalued in the rankings. I think Douglas came in 16th. Yesterday I mentioned how good a job that it seems like the coaches did. Obviously in 2A, they got 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the semis. You can't do any better than that, right? 3A is pretty good too. The 4A girls, though, that's the one that was that's the one that's been a little bit off with Douglas especially.
Yeah.
And so, man, you talk about that, number 16 beating number 1.
Man, incredibly underrated. They're 20-3.
I know. That's the thing. And it's not even like They're one of the, you know, you see some of those, you know, Oklahoma City public schools where they play such a brutal schedule that you can almost understand, you know, their ranking being down because their record isn't very good. That's not the case with this team. But yeah, 20-3.
Well, they beat at one point 6A number 10 Sand Springs. They beat Millwood, who was ranked 16th in 3A. Let's look at some of their opponents in this run that I think you just mentioned it, Glenpool, Anadarko, Inola, all top 10 teams. And I was hearing, I was watching El Reno last night, and he was talking about other games, and he mentioned Douglas and the Cinderella run. I don't think they'd like to be called. I'm not ready to say they're a Cinderella.
Well, at 16, they are.
Incredibly undervalued, not ranked high enough.
Well, yes, and anybody that beats Bethany and the loaded team that they are, it's going to be considered a Cinderella. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I mean, anybody beating, heck, anybody playing with them is going to be a pretty good accomplishment. But, yeah, that answer is obviously yes. Douglas, at least through a half, can give Bethany a game. Now, coming up in tonight, the first games of the evening session, 4A boys, you've got Weatherford and McLean, and then Douglas will take on North Rock Creek. I have actually seen two of these teams with my own eyes, with Weatherford and North Rock Creek.
Yep.
The Eagles dominated yesterday. It ended up being a 20-point game. It was actually, they were up 30-something going into the fourth quarter, and Stillwell scored more points in the fourth quarter than they did in the first three against probably, obviously, the Weatherford reserves.
Assuming a lot of reserves.
McLean and Anadarko was a heck of a game last night. Darko was ahead 6 going into the fourth quarter, and McLean just turned it on. Started knocking down shots from the outside. Anadarko missed a couple of bumps that they're probably not wide open layups, but shots that they literally go through a pregame warm-up practicing, kind of those little reverse bumps that you see Shepherd's teams executing in like their layup line. They're not just dribbling up and laying it up normal. They're always doing something a little bit different. They missed a couple of those. McLean took advantage and came back and beat them to force their way into the semifinal. You know, Mark even mentioned McLean on Tuesday as maybe a surprise team that could derail what we all think would be Weatherford Douglas rematch. They were athletic. Now, can they handle the size of what Weatherford possesses? And if you're Weatherford, how hard is it to not want to look past them, knowing what's there on the other side, more than likely waiting on you in the finals, a rematch and a chance at redemption for last year's loss?
I don't think that's on their mind right now. I think their goal right now is to win today. They're well coached. Those guys they've been playing together for a long time.
Oh, literally, there's stories all over. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
And it really is.
How cool that is, and that is almost the common thing when you see teams playing this time of year. It's because more often than not, these kids have been playing with each other since they could basically walk. You know, at the YMCA or over here in the Arrowhead Center or whatever. That's the common thing, and that's happened in Weatherford. I think, my point to all this is I think they're focused on today only. I don't think they're looking ahead. I don't think that they're going to allow that to get into their minds.
Yeah, that's probably right.
You know,
it's natural, though, to let your mind waver. Mm-hmm. You know, you've 365 days ago.
Yeah, if this was a year ago. But this is they've been in this situation. They've been in this tournament.
But you have to think that motivation has fueled them for that team and that game at another shot at it.
100%.
Like, I would not be surprised at all.
And I wonder what the angle is or what the pregame speech is in the locker room, you know, from Coach Bull. Is it, hey, guys, don't even worry about tomorrow. We're just going to worry about this one. Or he goes, guys, we don't get tomorrow.
That's right.
Unless you win this.
That's what it is. I think it doesn't matter what could be tomorrow if you can't go out there and beat Tulsa McLean.
Yeah.
I'm sure that will be the way that that's looked at. And I don't see any reason why it won't be that way.
Oh, I don't think it'll be close. I think they'll take care of business.
I think it's set up for that, and tomorrow night is going to be one of those nights that, you know, I read a story earlier this week about Steve Daniels, the voice of the Big House,
yeah.
in his memory of different things and different, you know, tournaments throughout the years. I think he started in 99. As the voice of the Big House, and now it's carried all the way, obviously, here 25 years later. And he talked about the, you know, the Pecola 2008 game where there was 8 points scored in the last however many seconds with the way that thing transpired, but also how many people came the Rodney Clark, Keaton Page year, and then also Sequoia Tahlequah, both teams in, and a Native American influence that had on the crowd, to where they literally had to quit selling tickets because the fire marshal wouldn't let anybody else in the Big House.
Wow.
That's awesome. So I don't know if we get to that epic of proportions, but we might with Weatherford and Douglas, that 3A girls, whoever that turns out to be. You know, is it Jones or Idabel versus Washington? One team going for four in a row if it's Jones. You know, a rematch of last year. And then, of course, the juggernaut that is Dale on the boys' side as the nightcap, the last game for 2A and 4A, at least 2A, 3A, and 4A, at least, of the high school basketball season inside the Big House. I mean, what, it's almost sad that this isn't it, because what a perfect ending, you know, at least for the basketball part of the building.
Yeah.
Instead, to see what we can get next year, I guess. But, you know, this feels like it ought to be it with what could happen tomorrow, depending on today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the perfect send off for the old goat to go be put to pasture.
I cannot wait. I'm sorry. If you've been the last couple weeks, the building's it's barely being held together.
You just thought going to the Cotton Bowl was a nasty experience.
Yeah, it's served its purpose.
It has. It's got one more year.
It has one more year, and then that's it.
And then also
I'm kind of ready for it to go.
Not only the basketball, but we're trying to warn you, OIEers, it ain't great.
No.
It ain't great.
No. I was just getting pumped up, and I went and found that rendering video of the new arena. Golly, that's going to be cool.
You can start seeing it. You know,
you can start to see the vision of it. I saw a thing, I've had people ask me, what's going to happen to the old, to Jim Norick? I think they're going to tear it down. I don't know, but at what capacity? Because I think in that area, they're putting what's called a super barn, where when they have the OIE stuff, where
they can come in.
Yeah, they could warm, or rodeo events, right, or riding events, you could warm them up in that super barn. It's kind of cool. And I think, I don't want to speak for anybody, but I think they will also use that area. I think they're able to bring in courts where maybe teams can warm up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Over there, and then walk on over into the new arena.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that would make total sense.
Yep.
But all that for naught. That's 2025 stuff.
No, no, no.
All right, no. I'm sorry. That's 2026 stuff.
Oh, God, Lord.
Doesn't that seem like a long time away? 2026?
It really does, but it will be here. I mean, it'll be here in a hurry. Yeah.
All right, when we come back, with a little Thunder talk. Start a 4-game home stretch tonight with Miami in town. Garrison Financial Friday on the Skinny on Sports.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber, or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings, or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Update from the Big House. Douglas and Bethany tied at 45 in the third quarter.
It's wild.
Shocking. Plum shocking.
You want Squirtle, you can pick.
That would be, yeah.
Like, who wins?
100% Douglas.
Yeah, I'm sure like three people voted.
No, one pick, it says it.
There it one is. Person, yeah, one pick.
A lot of people
probably... Take that one person to Vegas if they
yeah,
win.
A lot of people probably didn't have... just kind of overlooked that one. Why would I put my pick in for that one? That's an easy one. I wonder if Bethany's wishing they'd have had some of those 101 they scored on us back right now to put on the scoreboard.
No kidding.
Maybe just score 81, and then you could have 65-45 lead instead of being tied at 45. I'm not bitter. All right, Jared. Thunder tonight, 20 games from the playoffs. Start a four-game homestand. I heard Matt Pinto say on my drive in, since early November, the Thunder are the second-best home team in basketball at 23-3. I'm sure Boston's number one, just because Boston's number one in everything, although they've lost a couple in a row. Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, right now, the Thunder, a half a game back of Minnesota for what would be the first place in the West. They're tied in the loss column. Minnesota got a win last night in Indiana without Karl-Anthony Towns. I thought what Pinto said today was pretty interesting. He didn't know how much it would really bother them regular season-wise not to have him because of who they've got off the bench. So in your mind right now, if I said, Jared, and I guess you're not going to be held to this pick.
Okay, good.
But the conference finals in the East and the West, if you had to choose right now, what would you think that matchup would be?
Well, I'll start in the East. I still like Boston. I know they like you said, stumbled a couple their last couple, but, man, they've been so good. I like them to get to the finals, and I'll take Milwaukee. It's kind of a cop-out to pick the 2 seed, but I mean, who else are you going to put there? Cleveland, Orlando, the Knicks, maybe Philly. Can they get out of there? They seem to be spiraling right now.
Yeah, Embiid injury really kind of makes them a huge question mark.
So, with the star power, I'll go with Giannis in Milwaukee, and in Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. In the West, we saw Denver. They looked really good last night. And their win over Boston, they're right there. I mean, they're just a game back. They are the defending champs. I think they're kind of figured this scenario out where how they can survive the rigors of a long season. And I think we're about to see them really turn it on. So I'll put them in the finals defending their title. Defend their West title against the Clippers. Give me the Clippers in this scenario.
It's so much harder in the West to pick the conference finals because it's so much more jumbled up. It's hard to tell who's going to play who.
Exactly. It is.
I don't think it matters who Denver plays. I'm with you. I think Denver in the West is going to be in the conference finals. I would kind of lean Clippers too, but I'm afraid they're going to play each other.
Yeah.
Before they get there.
I think there will – let me think about
it. I don't trust the Thunder. I don't trust Minnesota. And then could it be one of those teams in the play-in? You know,
like I could see Denver getting the 2 seed or even the 1.
I could see them getting the 1.
And then the Clippers kind of hanging around at 4 or even, or excuse me, maybe
maybe getting to three if Oklahoma City or Minnesota.
Yeah. Something like that.
Falters just a little bit.
I mean, no one's writing the Clippers off with Westbrook's hand injury.
No. I mean, I'm afraid that...
That actually might have made him better.
I think Jim might be proven right here in the let. You know, we all know what his thoughts about Westbrook
are. Shaping the minds.
We all know that. And you know, 5-5 over the last 10. They played, what, 3 or 4 without Russ probably now. So it's not like they've just completely taken off. But I don't – you know who I could see? With what I consider the vulnerability of Minnesota and Oklahoma City in a lot of ways. And this team hasn't been very good this year. But they have won 7 of their last 10. It seems like they're hell-bent on one more last stand. We're not done just yet. I could see the Warriors. I mean, because you know, like, even if Oklahoma City's the one seed, you don't want any part of the Lakers. You don't want any part of the Warriors.
It's hard to bury the team like the Warriors because of their past.
Even though they were so bad, even in the playoffs last – I mean, but they going into the playoffs last year, in the play-in, but then they won a series.
They won a series. Yeah.
And so, man, to be different, I'm going to say Denver and the Warriors. I just don't trust the – you know, LeBron's ankle now is a thing. Anthony Davis is such an anomaly. He just kills Oklahoma City, and then Sabonis just kills him. He's 0-9 against Sabonis lifetime. How? I mean, what is that?
That is wild.
It's strange, and
that's
almost
a weird stat.
Isn't it almost kind of a compliment to Oklahoma City that the Lakers, after the butt kicking that OKC put on them in the first game, mm-hmm. like 133-110 here? That they've made it such a mission. Anthony Davis called the second game a must win.
Yeah, it was the second game of the
year. And it was in, like, December.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's like what I said when Detroit got Oklahoma City and everybody went nuts. A huge upset in the NBA. I was like, well, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
That's a compliment. So it is a compliment when you got LeBron and company going, we got to beat these guys. We got to get up for these guys.
It's going to be hard for me. I mean, I think OKC could win a series. I don't think they can get to the conference finals. I just don't see it. With the lack of this doesn't happen. At the same time, you know what did happen all those years ago? In 2011, Oklahoma City went from the first time they made the playoffs, getting knocked out by the Lakers in 2010, to then in 2011 being in the conference final. I mean, this is very similar to what that would have been from the play-in last year, making that huge leap in one season to what the Durant Westbrook teams did back then. But I'll go Denver Warriors, because Warriors kind of I don't trust anybody else. I mean, I don't know. It's a mess. Matchups are going to be huge. That's why it's so hard in the West, because you just don't know what the matchup's going to be. Who you got in the finals? Boston, Denver? Was last night a preview?
Yeah.
I think it was,
yep,
too.
That's who I got. Yep.
I think it'll be a fun series.
Don't ask me who's winning. But
I'll take Denver again.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I like Jokic. Although Porzingis seems to kind of
– well,
he seems to be a missing link that Boston needs. And also, the Bucks are idiots for letting them get Jrue Holiday. I know Dame is awesome. Dame time. Oh, I'm not sure if Dame affects winning as much as Jrue Holiday does.
Agreed.
Who you got for the MVP?
Maybe I am picking Boston in the finals. I like Jason Tatum.
Oh yeah, I don't.
Because
for the regular season MVP.
Well, listen to me, okay. Because I think with this final 20 games, Boston will come on. I mean, we've seen how good they are, and I think they'll come on. He'll make a strong push, and they'll go, you got to give this guy, you know. I know, but I think Jokic is climbing back up into everyone's conversation, and that goes back to what I said about how they've kind of figured out how to get good at the end of the year and make a push, and he's a big reason for that. But I'll go with the best player who I think will be on the championship team. So I'll go with Jason Tatum. I know it's a long shot, but that's but I can change this later, right? So
yeah.
That's who I'm saying. How about you?
Games like last night make it harder.
Right.
Harder for SGA because Jokic was right there, triple-double, sweeping the Celtics in the season series.
Well, I thought
series.
It was going to be harder for Tatum because was Jokic winning.
No, because I think it's a two-person race. It's either Jokic or it's SGA.
Hmm.
One of the two. Now, will voter fatigue? Like
Vegas
if this,
has them right now as 1-2.
If this was last year, I think SGA would win it because there was that voter fatigue for Jokic. Not that Embiid wasn't awesome, but you know that happens. We've seen that in the NBA. There was years where Michael Jordan won the MVP. Okay, that's just because people got tired of voting for him. I don't know if last year helps SGA in that manner. Like if Jokic would have been 3 in a row going into this year, I would hands down. I think SGA would win it. I just don't know if. Even as much as maybe the Thunder have come into the national conversation, I don't know if it's enough. I don't know if they're going to have those marquee chances like we saw last night for Denver and Jokic for SGA to prove his point.
That's kind of a light schedule than he's next 20 games.
I know. It's kind of the good thing for the Thunder as a team as far as where they might be able to wrestle away the home court from everybody in the West. Because of the lighter schedule, but it's also not the greatest thing of all time for SGA trying to get to that award. Because you look at Denver's schedule, let's see, coming up on the 17th, ABC, 2:30, the Mavs. ESPN, a couple of days before that, Heat. ESPN, Suns. TNT, Clippers. ESPN, T-Wolves. That's Denver. And Jokic and his chances to shine. And then, of course, the entire talk starts after the game with Ernie and Chuck and everybody. Oh, that's the MVP.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if SGA is going to have enough chances to do
only
that.
Only 4 nationally televised games left for the Thunder.
Oh, they have that many left? How many of those are NBA TV games?
Well, 2.
Yeah,
so
2 2 versus what, 5?
Two other 2 are on TNT. 1 at home versus the Mavericks here next week. And then at Philly.
Yeah, 2 for SGA, 5 for Jokic, plus another 2 more NBA TV games.
Here's Dill Thunder fans. You want more nationally televised games?
You'll get them next year.
You'll get them next year. Yeah, make a deep playoff run, maybe get to a conference finals, and people are going to pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's saying this is a team of future. This is the future of the NBA. They're going to get more attention, I guarantee.
You can book Oklahoma City on Christmas Day next year. Book it.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be there.
Yep.
I think Jokic is going to win it. And it's really kind of splitting hairs between the two as far as who deserves it. SGA, if SGA wins it, he absolutely is a deserving winner of the MVP. Absolutely is. I just don't know if he's going to get there. All right, Rookie of the Year.
Well, I don't want it to be Wimby, but I think it's going to be Wimby. It's a 2-man race, but he did win the last matchup against Chet on was that on national television?
I
can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was on ESPN.
And it's I got a theory, and I've been called dumb for saying this by our man Jim, but I got a theory. Everybody wants to look right. You know, the media wants to look right and go, we pick this guy as being the GOAT, the all generation player. He has to be the Rookie of the Year to prove that we're right.
And he's awesome.
It's
His
hard.
Numbers
yeah,
are incredible.
Oh, they're great. Yeah,
if you realize what he's doing in the limited amount of time on the floor, that's what's nuts. He's only playing like 28 minutes a game. And putting up the numbers he's putting up.
Yeah.
I don't think people care. It's weird because there's no way in hell an MVP would come from the last place team in a conference, which is what the Spurs are. They've won 13 games out of 63.
Yeah, he's putting up these great numbers, and he's on a team that's already been eliminated.
Oh, yeah, and he's got an ankle injury.
Yeah.
So, but here's the deal.
In any other year, Chet would win this thing. Going away.
This award was handed out on draft night.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was handed out on draft night, and it doesn't matter that, you know, I think you could build the case if you wanted to, that a big part of why the Thunder has made the leap that they've made comes from Chet Holmgren being in the lineup. You know, from a play-in team 1 year without him to fighting for the top seed in the West. Now, it's not just him. I understand that, too. And obviously, Chet plays with a way better team than Wembanyama does. But I think the sheer force of those numbers, plus how far ahead he was to start in this conversation, just the fact that we're talking about it, and even having a conversation that would make sense if, I mean, if Chet wins, it's not one of those where everybody goes, oh, my gosh, what in the world? Like, he's a deserving candidate as well, for just like SGA is for the MVP. Deserving candidate. Mm-hmm. But he ain't going to win. It's going to be Wimby. And he'll deserve it, too. I'm not sitting here saying that Chet absolutely deserves it, Wembanyama doesn't, because he didn't. He's put up ungodly numbers. And he does stuff that we've never seen. We don't see a dude that big. You know what I mean? He looks like a freak. Like a circus freak out there with other circus freaks. He looks like the freakiest of the circus freaks when he's out on the floor with his sheer size and, like, not jumping the dunk. I mean, all that stuff. Yeah. And then, oh, by the way, then he can make threes.
Yeah. I wonder if Chet's injury last year that kept him out the entire season, if that had not happened, if he would have been a Rookie of the Year candidate last year, or because of that injury that allowed him to develop a little bit more to make him what he is this year.
That's a fascinating question.
Because, you know, say, well, if he wasn't injured, he would have been Rookie of the Year last year. Well, what would he have been?
I don't know.
Would he have been as good?
Well, I don't know. Even if he would have been as good, though, are him and J-Dub splitting votes away from each other?
Great
and
question.
Paulo still wins?
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
But yeah, it's fun. We're getting, like you said, I think in the break, you forget like how much fun the NBA playoffs can be when your team is good. Back one last question. Let's just say for argument's sake that it doesn't matter where the Thunder finish. As far as the standings, create the yellow brick road to the finals as far as matchups.
Well, I kind of looked at current standings now.
Yeah.
I think they figured out Sacramento. We all agree we don't want the Lakers in the first round. I'd rather have Sacramento. I think they figured them out. For some reason, they've had success against Phoenix. I'd gladly play Phoenix in the second round, and it'd just be fun to eliminate KD and the Phoenix Suns. Dallas in the conference championship, that means they upset Denver, right? At some point along the way, they upset Denver. And then in the finals, anybody but Boston. I think they could beat anybody in the East but Boston right now.
It says interesting because I think I don't mind the matchup with Boston because I don't think Porzingis can bully Chet. They're about the same. I mean, they're very similar players. I think the Thunder can guard those guys.
Although Tatum versus SGA would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. J-Dub and Jaylen Brown. I mean, there's a lot of fun there.
There'd be a lot of fun matchups.
I would go Phoenix in the play-in, the first series.
First round.
I'm just going to say, let's pretend like the Thunder are the one seed.
Okay.
Just for the way the standings are.
I just went if the playoffs ended today.
Okay.
That's how I seeded it.
Couldn't be the play-in team.
Right.
Because they're sixth. So you had the Thunder two. Okay, I got you. I would go Phoenix on a play-in game. I like that match, even though those three guys are good. Which means then New Orleans upsets L.A., the Clippers, which would be the second round. And then I think Minnesota instead of Denver would be what you're looking for. I just don't think you want any part of Denver. Denver, the Clippers, as far as the – you get what you get the first series. It just is what it is. But as you move along, if you could figure out a way for not – I mean, it'd be awesome if Minnesota would fall to fourth and Denver and the Clippers would have to play each other first before it ever got to a conference finals. I don't know that that's going to be the case. But, I mean, it's still possible. But that's how I would go. And then I don't mind the Boston thing. And here's the deal. I just think it's going to be Boston, so why – I don't know.
I do too.
You know, I don't – I think the last team you'd want to see for the Thunder is Philly. Just because of Embiid. Just slinging Chet into the rafters.
What's his projected return?
I think he's supposed to come back, but we'll see how effective he can be.
Yeah.
How about Orlando? Fourth in the East. Pretty awesome. They're kind of on that same track with Thunder. Everybody have a great Garrison Financial Friday. Merritt at 1:30.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.